The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
My friend, Jesus is calling you into discipleship in order that you might become a soul winner. Well, welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll help us to focus in on the meaning of discipleship. Let us see that not all believers are disciples, but all disciples are believers. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Today we're going to the 16th and 17th verse of Mark chapter 1. Here is the word of the Lord. Now as he, that is Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, dear ones, as soon as Jesus was tried and tested in the wilderness of temptation for 40 days, as soon as he triumphed, he began to call unto him his disciples. Jesus' ministry began with disciples. Jesus exercised his public ministry through disciples while he was on earth. And Jesus continues his public ministry to this very day through his disciples. The kingdom of God Jesus came to set up on earth was the kingdom of his lordship and his disciples. It is a kingdom of discipleship. One of the misconceptions that we have today, and we've had it for hundreds of years, but it's more prominent now, is that many church boards believe that you become a disciple of Jesus when you're born again. Then again, many other churchgoers believe that you become a disciple of Jesus when you are baptized as an infant. Dear one, you no more are a disciple of Jesus when you're born again spiritually as you are a school teacher or a carpenter or an engineer when you are born physically. Whether you do or do not become a disciple after you're born of God is a personal choice. Nicodemus, the great leader of the Jews, the leader of the Pharisees, came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him, saying, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It simply means that after a man is born again, then he must make the choice whether he wants to enter the kingdom of God through discipleship, or whether he wants to remain outside the kingdom of God without ever becoming a disciple. So discipleship is a consequence of a personal choice. This does not mean that Jesus does not want you to become a disciple. He wants everyone who's born of God to become a disciple, but the choice is up to you on this matter. If you take up your cross, my friend, as Jesus took up his cross, then you will be a disciple of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is waiting for you to say, I'm ready to forsake all my plans and to follow the Lord. I'm ready to take up my cross. When you make that decision, you begin to be a disciple. So let's look at this text again. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come ye after me. Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, who were already believers, well, come ye after me. When? The answer is now. Come after me off and on? The answer is all the time. Now I know you believe in Jesus and you've received Jesus in your life, that is many of you. I know you believe the Bible is the Word of God. I know you believe in prayer and you believe in worship and in going to church. But my friend, I ask you, as a believer, have you as yet forsaken all to follow Jesus, to become a disciple, which gets you on the way of becoming a fisher of men? Oh, my friend, Christianity without discipleship is not really Christianity. It is boring, repetitive, and without the supernatural. But once we as believers sell our horse and get on the same horse with Jesus, we are in thrills, romance, and adventure. And all the promises of God that once he has for us will be fulfilled, all of them, but we must forsake all. No one outlines the cost of discipleship more strongly than Luke in his 14th chapter. listen to what he says there. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Here Luke quotes the Lord Jesus. Then in the 33rd verse of this passage, Jesus says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let me ask you, how many disciples are there in your local church who have forsaken all to follow Jesus? Oh, my friend, Jesus said to the believers, Simon and Andrew, come and follow me. Jesus is not commissioning us to make believers without making them disciples. Jesus had lots of believers. He had multitudes of believers, but he could not do anything with them. Jesus never, in his 3 years of ministry, asked a believer to do anything on his behalf. When he wanted something done, he always turned to his disciples. That is, to the believers who had become disciples. Jesus did not say, make believers out of all nations, but he said, make disciples out of all nations. Of course, you must first make believers, but then the real work begins, that is to make a disciple out of a believer. So, my friend, unless you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now then, what else do we learn from our text today? Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. We learn here that discipleship is permanently, indelibly linked with a mission. The ultimate purpose of discipleship is wrapped up in these 9 words, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, believing men of God, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Can you see the connection? Consider what he could have said, such as, come after me, and I will make you worshippers. Or he could have said, come after me, and I will make you church members. Or, come after me, and I'll make you choir members, or board members. I'll make you good givers. I will make you prayer warriors. I'll make you holy. All these things I mentioned are good and have a place, but none of them express the ultimate purpose of the call to discipleship, and that is to win souls to Jesus. God's ultimate purpose for humankind is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here in the middle of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we have the John 3:16 message. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men, so that men will not perish forever. Let me ask you again, who wrote the Gospel of Mark? Well, of course, it was Peter who was the author, and Mark who was the scribe. Now, who is Jesus talking to directly here? Well, it tells us in verse 16, he's talking directly to Simon, which is Peter, and to Andrew. Did Peter remember this commission to go and make fishers of men later on? Of course he did. He never forgot it. For this I want to turn to the second epistle of Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. This Peter, to whom Jesus said, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men, is saying this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Once again, here in Peter's writing, we have John 3:16, that God does not want any people to perish. So you can go to church every time the doors are open, to prayer meetings whenever the doors are open, and you can double tithe and honor your father and mother and live a righteous life. That's all good and fine. But don't rest on that, my friend. If you have been a disciple of Jesus for a year or several years and have not caught a man or woman or a boy or girl in your spiritual net, you need to be concerned. I'm not saying you should feel guilty. That's between you and God. You need to be concerned, because Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. Ask yourself, why in all these years of my Christian life have I not been able to catch one fish for Jesus? Are you concerned about this? If you're not concerned about it, I'm concerned about you. I want to tell you that after 51 years of having followed Jesus, I still am concerned. I'm concerned every day that I do not bring more souls to Jesus. I had this concern just recently when I was flying to the state of Colorado. And so because of the concern I witnessed to the man across the aisle, I had this concern when I was hiking up the trails with my 5 grandchildren, the trails of the Rocky Mountains, and I witnessed to people on the trails. I had this concern when I went to church there. I was looking around to see there's some lost soul in the sanctuary, and I witnessed. I had this concern when I got to the gas station to fill up my car, and I witnessed to the person serving me. Oh, it is not, my friend, a sense of guilt that I feel or a sense of condemnation, but a sense of concern, a burden that I carry, and I don't ever want to lose it, that I must witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am called to be a fisher of men. Jesus does not want you or me ever to divorce our calling to discipleship from our calling to be fishers of men. Oh, my friend, the psalmist says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I'll tell you what most Christians are concerned about. They're concerned about paying their bills. They're concerned about whether they can win the next card game. They're concerned about whether their basketball or baseball team wins the next session. They're concerned about whether they look sharp and beautiful when they go to church. They're concerned about whether they get a nice hotel room, rather than being concerned about finding a soul in that hotel, perhaps a maid or someone that needs the Lord Jesus. They're concerned about not offending anybody. They're concerned about having their house clean and up to snuff and companies coming. They're concerned about their children, the needs and wants of their children. I'll tell you, until our concern for the lost becomes greater than our concern for all these concerns, Jesus cannot make us to become fishers of men. Somebody was concerned about your soul and brought you to Jesus, and you need to have a concern to lead someone else to Jesus. Oh, we need a passion for the lost. Jesus had it. Now you say, Pastor Schultz, to give me a soul-winning lesson. Oh, yes, indeed, there are many classes on soul-winning. There are many classes on discipleship. But I'll tell you, my friend, although I can give you some scriptures that will help you in soul-winning, when it comes right down to it, Jesus said, follow after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. No one, no person really can make you a soul-winner except Jesus himself. Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. Not Pastor Schultz or anybody else, but I will. And the prerequisite is come after me. Come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So the issue is really not attending classes and reading books. The issue is ongoing discipleship, taking up a cross and following the Lord. And then he'll teach us. He'll teach us in a custom-made fashion how we, each as individuals, can become soul winners for Jesus. So remember this. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Call into discipleship is indelibly linked with us going out to win the lost. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege of sharing the wonderful commission that you have given with thy people of this day and age. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Tune in again next week. And goodbye now until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.